Good morning and happy Sabbath. Am I on? All right. Special welcome to, there's a number of you that I just don't know. We're so glad you're here today to visit with us. Thank you for that. We hope you enjoy your fellowship with us today. As you know, we're always blessed when you're here to minister to us and to fellowship with us. So we thank you for that. As has already been mentioned, we have a number of our normal church family, I'm sure, visiting other of their family today. But every one of you that's here visiting with us, you're among family. There are no strangers here, and we are so glad that you're here with us today. I want to read our text from this morning again. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. My friends, we have seen the power of prayer in our church family here. We see the power of prayer every day, and I want to encourage you, there is amazing power in prayer. And the one thing that we can do is get down on our knees and say, Lord, we could really use some help here. Be it for faith, for healing, for discernment, whatever it is, God has promised that He will hear every prayer. You know, in our Sabbath school lesson today, we were looking at the situations that we sometimes face and the situation of discernment and judgment. We just went through a Thanksgiving period. And I hope all of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We had the opportunity to go down and visit with family, and we enjoyed it so much. As Adventists, we should have that attitude of gratitude. And I think sometimes, and I know I'm guilty, of not appreciating just the fact that I'm vertical and breathing every day is something to be thankful for. And we have had an onslaught of disease and illness in this church, but be faithful, keep praying, and encourage each other. God will get us through this and every trial we face. You know, I've been asked multiple times today and several phone calls this week, where are we with the pastor situation? Well, I am pleased to announce we have a pastor. Pastor Tony Brandon has accepted our invitation, and he will be joining us. He and his family will be joining us as our new pastor. The timing is yet to be determined. We all want it to be yesterday. It will probably be a little longer than that. But we are excited that Pastor Brandon and his family will be joining us and that we can move forward. You know, I wonder. We've been in this search for a while. We've talked to a number of really nice individuals who have come and gave us messages. And I think all of us has formulated our own expectation of the pastor. What do we want that pastor to do? What do we expect of that pastor? And I wanted to visit with you just for a while today, a couple of things. You know, when Jesus came to the Jews, they had expectations of a Messiah as well. And their expectations of a Messiah was that ruler, that strong individual who could throw the Romans out, return their people to the pride they once had. And they missed the entire point. They missed the entire boat. That Jesus was there to provide them so much more than their expectations ever were. But they were pretty well caught up with their expectations. And you know, as I think about this process of our getting a new pastor here, I wonder, what's his expectations of us? You know, he's coming into a new congregation. He's met a couple of times now, but he doesn't know us intimately well yet. And so I'm sure that Pastor Brandon and his family are going, wow, what are they going to be like? Are they going to welcome us? And we have. We certainly have. But there's that little bit of anticipation about what it's going to be like. I would ask you, do you believe God has expectations of both us as a congregation and the pastor as our new pastor? Of course he does. And I want to share with you and perhaps explore just for a little while this morning some things that we can do to perhaps support and encourage and welcome our new pastor. It's said that there's probably 10 things that a pastor would wish their congregations would do. And I want to share those with you this morning and for something for us to think about. And the first, and I would believe probably the most powerful and most important, is pray. We know we don't pray enough. The pastor is a spiritual catalyst for the church and makes the pastor a great big target for the enemy. Would you agree with that? Pray for wisdom. Pray that the gifts that are given to that pastor are shared with the church. The most affirming words that a pastor ever hears is, "Pastor, I'm praying for you." So we should be praying every day for our pastor. If we look at Romans 15 and verse 30, it tells us this. And again, this was a situation where a congregation was being dealt with. "Brothers and sisters, I beg you to help me in my work by praying to God for me. Do this because our Lord Jesus and the love that the Holy Spirit gives us pray that I will be saved from the non-believers in Judea and that this help I bring to Jerusalem will please God's people there. Then if God wants me to, I will come to you with joy and together I will have a time of rest." Pray and pray earnestly for our new pastor, that he will find this a warm and welcoming and cooperating church family. The next thing that I think pastors would really like to have their congregations do for them is affirm your pastor. Pastoring may be one of the most difficult jobs in the world these days. Pastors live in a highly concentrated environment where they see the results of sin daily. And they are trying desperately to care for the humanity that's been entrusted to them. Though pastors don't live for affirmation, words of validation do provide a lifeline of strength through treacherous times. You know, our expectations of a pastor sometimes is that they will solve all of our problems. They're here to do all the leadership, and boy, they can get things going, and they can... Come on, folks, let's be real. We have pastors here for a leadership role, but they expect us to step up as well. Let's affirm our pastors. Let's tell them that we appreciate what they do, and let's let them know that we are a team. It's not, "Okay, Captain, get this ship righted." It's, "Let's work together. Let's pray. Let's be open to God's leadership in all that we do. And let's find new and creative and invigorating ways to share the good news of the gospel with the world around us." Third item that pastors would share with their congregations: bless the pastoral family. Pastoral stress leaks into families and is enough to test all the family bonds. You know, do you ever think about the fact that we rely on our pastors as counselors and leaders and individuals who will hear a lot of our inner dark secrets, and yet pastors, like anybody else, have stresses of their own. They have challenges of their own. And we need to make sure that we bless our pastors, that we take the time to understand that, talented and God-blessed as they are still human beings. And just like us, there are times when they're challenged, there are times when they have to reach further for that. Now we hope and pray that our pastors understand, as we are all learning, that God's well never runs dry. And no matter what the challenge, He can provide every need, and He can provide when we don't have it. But let's remember to bless our pastors. The fourth thing that pastors would like their congregations to be aware of is something that I know that I'm guilty of. Release the pastor from constant ministry so renewal can take place. In a two-church district like we have here, it's a challenge. The pastor wants to be here. We want him here. Heavenly Valley wants the pastor up there. He wants to be there. We expect the pastor to be at most of our functions and most of the things we do. When does that pastor have time for their family and for their personal renewal? Let's not have an unrealistic expectation of a pastor. Let's allow them to have some time for family, for strengthening, for renewal. If we regularly release them for a few days to do that, we will have a pastor who is better equipped and better able to do what our expectations are of that individual. Number five, talk with your pastor, not about or around. Wow. Talk with our pastor. Have meaningful, open, transparent conversations with the pastor, but not about the pastor. And not around the pastor. Thanks, Jerry. We have to understand, folks, this is a community of individuals. This is a family of individuals. And we're inviting this new pastor to be an integral, intimate leadership part of our family. They need our support. They don't need our arrows. So let's talk with our pastor. Now, our expectation is that our pastor will be available. And you know, I've come to learn and have a lot more appreciation for pastors in the absence of a pastor in this church. You can't be everywhere. And as much as you would love to, you can't talk to everybody that needs to be talked to. That is why a pastor is coming, I hope and pray, to equip us and to encourage us and to allow us to work with that pastor so that we all become ministers. We all work together. We all can help do the tasks. But let's talk to the pastor and not about or around that pastor. A sixth item that is important for us as a congregation as we look forward with eager anticipation to our new pastor: forgive your pastor for falling short of your expectations. We have expectations. We know it. Is our pastor going to meet every expectation we have? I don't think so. We have invited a God-fearing, God-centered, God-focused man to come and to lead us. He will not meet every expectation that we have. I believe he'll meet every expectation that God has of him, and he will do his very best to meet our expectations. But we have to understand he's still a man. And so when he doesn't meet our expectations, we need to forgive. Many of the expectations are mutually exclusive. Your pastor, our pastor, will make some mistakes. All pastors do. We make mistakes in this church, some of us more often than not. We need to be forgiving as we are understanding, and we need to allow God to lead not only us and this church, but our new pastor with a forgiving, supporting, and accommodating role. You know, we look and we talk and we think about things that we want from a pastor. We've talked about several times as we've had our meetings and we've voted that at the end of the day, my friends, it's not about what we want. It is about what God wants for this church and what God perceives that our need is. And sometimes that's hard to give up. Well, I believe God wants more than anything each person in this room to be with Him for eternity. That's what's important. That's what we need to be focused on. The seventh thing that I think pastors would like congregations to know is we need to feed ourselves spiritually. Don't expect to live on just the Word of God and what is provided to you from the pastor. If that's what we do, we're going to starve to death spiritually. It's just like if we only have a spiritual experience on Sabbath. If we are Seventh-day Adventists instead of Seven-day Adventists. If we're not feeding ourselves every day to what God has provided abundantly for us in Scripture, in counsel, in Bible studies, in prayer groups, we're sure living on a starvation diet. So don't just depend on the pastor for our spiritual growth. Now, he will play an important part, and we thank God for that. But God wants us to grow every day based upon our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If we do that, we will get the most out of whatever the pastor has to provide to us from God. The eighth thing that pastors would love to see more of from their congregations is bond with a small group. Now, we have some small groups. We've had more. We've had less. Don't expect the primary pastoral care to come from the pastor. If we are providing nourishment spiritually, in getting together in small groups, the pastor can be so much more beneficial to us. He or she can do so much for us. But we need to be getting together with small intimate groups throughout the week. We need to be drawn together. We need to have such strong bonds as a Christian family that we know each other. We know each other intimately, and we support each other. So if we are not participating in a small group, let's do ourselves and this church and the pastor a favor, and let's seek them out. Let's spend time in those groups. We've talked about this. We talked about it today in Sabbath school. The Bible says as we come to the end times, we should be spending more time together. Amen. Not just with the pastor. With each other. Encouraging. Listening. Helping. Understanding. Studying. Exercising our faith so that trust is strong. A ninth item that pastors have put down as something they would like to see a stronger relationship with their church is in following the leader. The pastor is not the CEO of the congregation. That role is reserved for Jesus. However, the pastor has been given the gift of apostleship, and you should take your cue from that pastor, and you should follow. But we need to understand that the leader of this congregation and of the church is Jesus Christ. Amen. And if we're going to follow the leader, we have to spend time. We have to study. We have to know. And we have to surrender to that leader. The pastor has a role to play, an important role to play. But the focus needs to remain on Jesus Christ. Amen. And where we go from here. Times will not get easier for us just because there's a pastor here. We know Satan is going to continue to challenge us. We know Satan is going to continue to throw roadblocks and to cause disruptions and to try to create disharmony. Let's follow the leader that shed his blood on the cross for each and every one of us. And the last thing on this list, but not the last in priority, that I think every pastor would want their congregation to participate more in, is exercise your spiritual gifts. Pastoral gifts don't do much by themselves. The pastor can't carry the load. He can't carry the message by himself. He can't visit every person in need. He can't counsel every person who needs it. He can't share with every person the burden on his heart. Everyone in this room, everyone in this church has been given spiritual gifts. There is such an amazing power in the collective spiritual gifts of our church family. Let's use them to the glory of God. Under the leadership of God-blessed men, let's do it. And I know some of you are thinking right now, nah, it's not me, I don't have any spiritual gifts. I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. Every person here has a gift of some kind. And I know many people who have many spiritual gifts in this church family. Step forward with those gifts. We talked today about the difference between trust and faith. Faith is stepping out of your comfort zone. Faith is going places that you wouldn't normally go, do things that you wouldn't normally do, if led by God. And as you do that, your faith will be built and your trust will be built. And when it really comes down to those times that are life and death, we will have built the trust that is necessary because we stepped out in faith. We used our spiritual gifts. We didn't look just to the pastor for everything that is necessary in our spiritual life. Use those spiritual gifts. You know, as I looked at these list of 10 things, I thought, yeah, that makes sense. But I want my pastor to do this. I expect him to do this. And I was reminded again, the disciples and their expectations. They wanted Jesus to throw off that Roman yoke. They wanted to see him take on that role as ruler. And yet if you look at their lives and you read about their lives, that moment came in each life where the light came on. And they realized what they wanted most is for Jesus to help them understand the eternal perspective. That it's not about just what happens here. That it's about preparing ourselves for an eternity with that same Jesus who hung on the cross for each one of us. We prepare now for a pastor to come. The pastor, I guarantee you, is preparing to come here. Let's all prepare for the second return of Jesus Christ. Let's be so focused on sharing the good news of the gospel, on being ready, on surrendering to the real leader of this church, that when our pastor arrives, we are enthusiastic and we are ready for some change. That we can step up and step out by God's grace and do what this community needs and what Christ wants us to do. have our expectations. But let's make sure we've looked at the expectations that God has for each one of us in preparing the world for His soon return. When we looked at our Sabbath school lesson today, there were some amazing messages, some amazing points. We sometimes forget it's getting closer. When we make plans, and we're planning now for this new pastor, and we know he'll come with some plans, we all have plans. What is the number one thing in your plan today? What is the highest priority in my plan today? Is it to be ready for Jesus Christ if He came tonight? If that is the plan, and if we allow Jesus to do what He wants to do in every life here, it will work out. And we will share eternity with the One who loved us so much that nothing was too great a price to pay. And our number one expectation, my brothers and sisters, should be for the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. Bow your heads, please. Father in heaven, sometimes the day-to-day trials, the day-to-day struggles, sometimes the weight of life clouds our vision, does not allow us to see clearly what is most important. As we leave this sanctuary today, Heavenly Father, remove the clutter, remove the unknowns, remove the uncertainty, and Father, help us to have such a crystal clear vision of our faith in Jesus Christ and our desire to share Him with others and His soon return, that nothing can shake us from that and that nothing else becomes more important. May our fondest expectation be to see the face of the returning Jesus, is our prayer in His precious name. Amen.